Well, good morning. It's an honor for me to be here, and I think most of you are aware that my wife and I have been worshiping here for a while, but I thought I would take a few moments to briefly introduce myself since we've been away for a while. My wife Jane and I first came here in 2004 to 2007 when I received an assignment to U.S. Special Operations Command at MacDill Air Force Base. So we became a part of the Bayside community at that time. I am ordained and also endorsed by the Church of God from Anderson, Indiana, and have been a chaplain in the Army for 26 years. I served 3 years prior service, so I have 29 years in active duty. And most of you hear people call me Colonel or Chaplain. You can call me Brother Tim. That suits me well. But I'm glad to be here. It's a privilege to be a part of a loving congregation like Bayside. I did move away in 2007 when I got another assignment to U.S. Army Special Operations Command at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and was there from 2007 to 2009. And then I received orders to go to Afghanistan to be the senior chaplain there in 2009 in April, and got back in February of this year, and we were able to move back. I was once again assigned to MacDill Air Force Base, where I'm the command chaplain for U.S. Central Command. So we're privileged to be here again. And this should be my last assignment. Of course, I've said that several times. But I think this should be a three-year assignment for me, and our hope is that we can continue to be a part of Bayside Community Church. I will be traveling a lot over the next 3 years. Central Command is focused upon the Middle East, so since I've been here in February, I've been gone probably about 3 months, I think, to Jordan, Bahrain, Pakistan. I've been gone several places. But so over the next 3 years, I'll continue to travel, but we'll be here. We'll make this our home. Good Lord willing, we'll retire here and be a part of the family of God here at Bayside. You've been a blessing to us. I think many of you know that my wife and I had our 31-year-old daughter pass away in June, and you as a congregation have just been very loving and caring to us, and have been a blessing to us, and I just want to thank you for that. And Pastor Bates has been a blessing. Don't you enjoy his sermons? Aren't they a blessing, and don't they feed your soul? I am nurtured by his ministry, and I'm thankful to be here. And I'm especially grateful that he started this series of sermons that he's called There's an App for That. He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit coming from Galatians 5:22. And so far, he's preached on six of those. There are nine fruit of the Spirit. He's preached on six of them. And I'm going to preach on the seventh one today on faithfulness. But can we say those together? Now, I'm going to use my paper here so I don't forget them like Pastor Bates did last week. No. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Today is a message on faithfulness. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is an application that God wants to give His children. And the pastor explained what an application is. Most people who have an iPhone know what an application is nowadays. An application is something that you download, a feature that you put on your phone that's supposed to be very helpful. It's to connect you to things that you need. Now, valuable things that we need, like weather reports or traffic reports, instant news, and of course what everyone needs is constant sports scores, 24/7, 365. You know, you just have to know who won the latest cricket game between Pakistan and New Zealand. Just one of those features you have to have. But an application is only as valuable as it is useful. You know, there are a lot of applications that are never used. And therefore, they're not very valuable to you. They're things that we seldom ever access, and therefore they have very little meaning to us. But if it's something that you need, something of value to your life, then it's worth the money you invest in it. I was reading in the paper last week about a company that was selling some false applications. That is, they were advertising that if you could pay for this application, they would drop it down on your phone, but it did absolutely nothing. It was a fraud. And they were being sued over that. But you know, I think spiritually speaking, I'd contend that there are a lot of things in this world that we add to our lives that are pretty useless. We expend resources on them, something that cost us, but they really render very little positive aspects in our lives. And that's what this series is about, talking about applications that are extremely useful. Once again, an application is only as valuable as it is useful. And the things that God wants to add to our life, if He tells us, this is something I want to apply to your life, then you can guarantee that it's going to be something useful and necessary for your life. It's vital. And God has said that His fruit of the Spirit is something that we vitally need. I would contend that faithfulness is an application that is indispensable in relationships. And we all intuitively know it. We value faithfulness. It's something that we know from the very beginning. Now, I've entitled this sermon, God's App for Greater Faithfulness, and I called it Semper Fidelis. Are there any Marines in the house? Any former Marines? They're not ex-Marines. You don't call a Marine an ex-Marine. They're always Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Any Marines, would you stand up? Any family of Marines? Okay. Well, you know what Semper Fidelis means, don't you? What does it mean? Always faithful. What a powerful motto. That is the motto of the Marine Corps. You know, all the services have their own mottos and their language. Now, there's different ways of describing things that the different services use. For instance, a helicopter coming to your location. If you were in the Air Force, you would say, rotary wing aircraft approaching. If you were in the Army, you would say, chopper coming in. If you were in the Navy, you would say, helo inbound. If you're in the Marine Corps, you say, hoo, 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 hoo. Now, our Marines can take this. They are satisfied in their Marineness, and I love them. We have these gentle things that we do with one another. But what a great service the Marine Corps is. A great motto. What a wonderful experience when you see Semper Fidelis lived out in front of you. One of the tragic scenes in recent history in the Marine Corps was the bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut in October 1983. I still remember the very vivid images of the Marines going through the rubble, pulling out their Marines who survived. There were 299 military killed or wounded in that incident. A very graphic scene as they began to pull the survivors out. One of the reports that came out of that was one of the Marines who was taken back to Landstuhl Hospital in Germany was wrapped up. He was so injured that it said he looked more like a machine than a human being. He just had wrappings all over him, wires going in, and tubes going into his mouth. He couldn't talk. And the Marine Corps Commandant at that time, Paul X. Kelly, P.X. Kelly, went to visit this young Marine. And this Marine's name was Corporal Jeffrey Lee Nashton. And as the commandant approached this young man to give him a Purple Heart, the Marine began to stir. He couldn't talk, but he indicated that he wanted a piece of paper. And they gave him a piece of paper, and he wrote on the note, Semper Fidelis, and he gave it to the commandant of the Marine Corps. That's the spirit that I'm talking about. That's the attitude. You know, we all are encouraged by that kind of spirit within our young servicemen and women. And what's most important is when we see that lived out in all kinds of relationships. Semper Fidelis, always faithful. It's an awesome thing in relationships when we come face to face with faithfulness. We know it when we see it, and it's a blessing. It's an awful thing when we come face to face with unfaithfulness in relationships. It is a curse. And there are probably some of you sitting here today who have in some way been hurt or experienced pain because of the unfaithfulness of someone, maybe a friend or a colleague, or maybe even a spouse, a family member, who has some way let you down, has some way not lived out faithfulness. We all intuitively know how valuable it is in relationships without being taught. Now, what does faithfulness look like when you see it? In fact, if you went to the dictionary and opened it up and got a definition, what would it say? Well, there's a couple of definitions. First of all, faithfulness is said to be adhering firmly and devotedly to a person, cause, or idea. I'll say it again. Adhering firmly and devotedly to a person, cause, or idea. Being loyal. Secondly, having faith or being full of faith is the definition of faithfulness. Third, worthy of trust or belief. How important is trust? I think you all know how important it is. Being reliable. And fourth, the steadfast adherence of a faith or cause are often called the faithful. Those are definitions of what it means to be faithful. Synonyms for being faithful is loyal, true, constant, steadfast, staunch, someone you can count on. Now, if you went to the dictionary and looked it up, now whose picture would be there? What kind of a picture would you see? You might see these guys. Dogs, you know, can teach us some things about life, and they can teach us some things about faithfulness. Or you might see this picture. You might recognize this second picture as what's called Old Faithful. Any of you ever been to see Old Faithful? It's something reliable. It's something that you know is going to happen. The geyser. Now here's a third picture of Old Faithful. Now Old Faithful is there, and behind her is the geyser. This is my dear wife of 37 years. Now I didn't call her Old Faithful. I mean, she's faithful over a long time. But those are pictures of what faithfulness might look like. But I think if you really looked there and wanted to see a picture, you would see the face of God. Would you see your own face as being someone who is faithful? You know, being faithful is essential to all family relationships or significant relationships. Being a faithful friend or brother in Christ is really what the church is all about. This application of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, is fundamental to all relationships. God calls us to be faithful. God calls us to be faithful to Himself. God calls us to be faithful in our relationships. And one of those significant relationships is to be faithful to our spouse. Now this is not just about spouses, but I want to talk about being faithful to your spouse. We demand it in the most intimate relationships like marriage. In fact, there was a survey I recently read, an online survey of about 6,000 people. They were asked the question, what would make you leave your spouse or partner? Of those 6,000 people who answered, the number one answer was unfaithfulness or infidelity. One-third of those said that is the number one issue in a relationship. It's a sad epithet to some marriages to say she was unfaithful or he was unfaithful to the vows that he made. In some way seen that lived out, and it's a terrible, sad thing. Some of you have experienced that perhaps in your own home, maybe your parents or family members, or maybe even your own relationship you've encountered that. You know the pain of it. We know how important it is. But you know there's a joy in a marriage and in a relationship when you see it being demonstrated and lived out every day, day by day. And we got to celebrate that. We need to lift up faithfulness, and we need to understand how vital it is in relationships. And we need to celebrate marriage. I think that's an important thing for us to do. In fact, I'd like to just recognize, anybody here been married over 25 years? If you would, just stand up. 25 years, that's a quarter of a century. Would you stand up? Let's begin. Thank you for your faithfulness and the witness that you bear to all of those around us, to a culture that sometimes doesn't always value faithfulness and doesn't always value the long-term relationship. Now, if you're not married, I don't intend to exclude you, because being faithful is essential in all family relationships. It's essential in all significant relationships. It's essential in the body of Christ to be a faithful friend or a brother and sister in Christ who someone can count on, someone who's reliable, someone who is steadfast. This application of the Holy Spirit is fundamental to all relationships. Faithfulness in marriage, family relationships, and the body of Christ are vital. But I'll tell you what is even more important and can actually help us to be faithful in those relationships, and that is being faithful in our relationship to God. The second point that I want to emphasize is that God calls us to be faithful to Him. That is a relationship. It's interesting how God has so designed the world so that our relationship with one another become a window to the relationship that we have with Him. In fact, in the Bible, He uses familial relationships to describe Himself. He calls Himself our Father. To be a window of that kind of relationship that He wants to have with us. He also demonstrates maternal love or maternal care. If you read the Psalm 91, it says, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You remember when Jesus was praying over Jerusalem, and He saw Jerusalem, and He said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have called you unto myself like a mother hen carries or calls her chicks to her, but you would not. So He demonstrates maternal love toward us as well. It's also described in the Bible that He loves us, or in the Scriptures, in the New Testament anyway, that talks about the church as being the bride of Christ. He talks about Himself as being a husband, and His people as being His wife. In fact, when you read the Old Testament, it's very clear that's one of the primary relationships that He uses to describe His relationship with us and what He desires for us. I've been reading through the Old Testament and came across this in the book of Jeremiah. He sent Jeremiah just before he was about to take the people into exile. Israel had already fallen in 720 B.C. This is about 579 B.C., and he's warning Judah that they will experience the same fate. And he says this in Jeremiah 3:16, During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, Have you seen what faithless Israel has done? He uses them like two sisters. Israel and Judah. Haven't you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. I thought that after she had done all this, she would return to me, but she did not. And her unfaithful Judah, her unfaithful sister Judah, saw it. You see, he's using the term faithfulness in this relationship. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. But Israel's immorality mattered so little to her, she defiled the land and committed adultery. And then the Lord says, faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Go proclaim this message. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. You see that family description that the Lord uses to talk about our relationship with Him. He wants us to be faithful to Him. I hope that in that little section of Jeremiah, you saw several things. First of all, you saw an indication of God's love, His love for us. He describes us as a husband and a wife, how much He loves us. And the second thing there I think you might see is to describe the tendency of the human heart. You know that old song that says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. It happens to all of us. All of us have a tendency to be unfaithful. But I hope you saw the third thing there, and that is God's compassion and His mercy and the gospel. He says, return to me, faithless people, for I am your husband, and I will choose you. You see, the Lord loves us, and He wants us to be faithful. And that's what He encourages us to do. God loves us, and He wants us to have a close relationship with Him. I've seen many sad situations where one person has been unfaithful in the relationship and the other has called out to them, chasing them, come home, come home. And that's the picture that we have here of God appealing to His people. Come home, come back to me, be faithful to me, so that we might have this relationship. God pleads with us. But you know, we can't do this on our own. We need His strength even to be faithful to Him. But that's what this application is all about. He helps us to be faithful to Him. Proverbs 103 describes this great love that God has for us. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know that psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all of His benefits. He heals all of your diseases. He forgives your iniquity. And then it goes on in verse 8. It says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for them who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed and that we are but dust. He knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and He has compassion on us. Even though we have been unfaithful, He wants to provide ways that we can be faithful, and that is through His Holy Spirit. You know, He has an app for that. That's why God offers His application of faithfulness to us through His Holy Spirit. That's what this sermon series has been all about these various dimensions of our life that we cannot somehow manufacture on our own. He provides it through His own Holy Spirit. Because faithfulness is a part of His nature. You know that great song, great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand is provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. See, the very thing that we need is to be faithful to him, but he also provides that to us through his Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. He actually gives us the resources we need to be faithful to him because he knows that we're not perfect and that we're unable to be faithful to him on our own. So he offers us first forgiveness, and then he extends to us the help of his Holy Spirit. We need him. We need him. One of the dangers of faithfulness is that it may often be overlooked. You know, when someone's constantly faithful to you, you may start to take them for granted. You may think, well, they're always going to be there. So faithfulness becomes overlooked, underappreciated, and taken for granted. Someone may actually think, well, it doesn't matter what I do, they'll always be there. But don't abuse the faithfulness of a spouse or a friend or a family member. Don't assume that they'll always be there. Don't test the limits of the faithfulness of another, because there may be a time when they say, enough. I would also say the same about our relationship with God, that we should never abuse or take for granted the attitude or faithful mercy of the Lord. You know, one may think that they can always continue to abuse that relationship and presume that the door to the ark of safety will always be open. But Jesus told us, he warned us that these days are like the days of Noah, that there may be a time when the ark will close and his mercy will no longer be available to those. His faithfulness will not be there. And that's a very stern message that he's given to us, but a very act of love and mercy that he's given us, that warning. We need to be aware that it's dangerous to ignore the faithful mercy of our Father. You know, faithfulness, once again, is a product of the Holy Spirit. And as the pastor shared with us last week, that one of the ways to encounter his Holy Spirit is the image of the vine that was given in John 15. I am the vine and you are the branches. You need to abide in him and allow his love and his fruit of the Spirit to come through your life. He first of all offers us forgiveness. The great gospel message in 1 John 1:9, it says that if we confess our sins, he is what? He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he extends forgiveness to us, and then he offers us the presence of his Holy Spirit to produce faithfulness in us. In order to achieve that, we need to be connected with him and need to be in relationship with him. Well, perhaps there's someone here this morning who needs to receive the faithful mercy of our God. You know, all of us need it, but sometimes you may be in a broken relationship with him. But I extend to you the message of salvation that he gave to us in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. Now, maybe someone needs to allow the Holy Spirit to add this application of faithfulness in our life so that we might be in good relationship with others. But most importantly, that we might be in right relationship with him. So that someday we may hear these words that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 29. He gave an example, a story, and he said, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And the man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5 and said, Master, you've entrusted me with 5 talents, so I have gained 5 more. And the master replied, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I hope to hear those words. I hope that we can always experience Semper Fidelis, always faithful. That's my hope, and that's my prayer for you. Let's go to him in prayer, shall we? Our Father, we are thankful for your faithfulness to us, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, help us and teach us how important that is in our lives. And then, Lord, help us to come to you to find healing, to find cleansing, to find forgiveness. And then, Lord, help us to open our hearts and our minds to your Holy Spirit, to allow you to help us to be even more faithful to you and to one another. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.